your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views of the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. Tomorrow is the date of a number of important school elections in southwestern Michigan. Many communities have already held their elections to determine whether or not new school buildings shall be built, but tomorrow seems to be the favorite date for such polls. The reason for this is that June 13th is the date set for the regular elections of school board members. And so it's very convenient to hold the millage and bond elections at the same time. The Vicksburg Commercial reports that the issues at stake in the election in that town have been under consideration for a long time. For a while, it appeared that the details of the Vicksburg proposal might not be prepared in time to be offered at this election. But by hard work and some quick thinking, the plans were completed in time. So, tomorrow, Vicksburg voters will decide whether to complete a new set of school buildings. The total amount of expenditures listed on the Vicksburg proposal is $540,000, enough to build a new high school and elementary schools. The Vicksburg Commercial went on to say that the population of the school district is increasing rapidly. In fact, it was necessary to open two more rural school buildings in order to house the additional students last year. The situation will get worse, according to the Commercial, unless the voters approve the issues at stake in Monday's election. Galesburg has a school election scheduled Monday, although no building proposals are at stake in that town right now. The Galesburg voters will pick two men from a field of six candidates to serve on the school board. To enlighten the voters on the qualifications of such candidates, the Galesburg Argus run a series of biographies, one for each man, last week. The Argus also reported that this election has been more hotly contested than any other election in recent years. And Allegan seems to face some critical issues in tomorrow's election. A citizens' committee has been working for many weeks to inform the voters of the seriousness of the situation there. The schools in Allegan have been overcrowded for the past few years, and something must be done about the situation very soon. The proposal in tomorrow's election, according to the Allegan Gazette, asks for $600,000 in bonds with which to construct new elementary school buildings. The city of Three Rivers has decided to sign a long-term contract with the Michigan Gas and Electric Company. At first glance, that might not sound important, but the Three Rivers Commercial thought it important enough to be featured with an eight-column headline. The important feature of the contract is the fact that the city will now be able to purchase electric power for a maximum of $1.35 a kilowatt. Three Rivers now pays a straight $2 per kilowatt. Over a period of 10 years, the life of the contract, the savings to the city will be very large. The Allegan County Tax Allocation Board ran into trouble this week. The Allegan News reported that the six-member board failed to agree on how the 15-mill tax should be divided up among the schools, the county, and the townships. The Allegan County Clerk has been instructed to write to the State Tax Commission to ask help in solving the problem. The board wanted to make it clear that it's not asking the state to help fix assessments. It only wants the help of the state in dividing taxes once they've been collected. Allegan County officials are watching the situation closely. The county treasury is almost empty and must be bolstered soon. If the allocation board votes to give the county its requested 7 mills, then the treasury will be back in the black. Otherwise, it might be necessary to issue some bonds in order to continue operation. And now here's my colleague, Harry Travis, with some of the stories in the news.
Well, the people in Sturgis have good reason to believe that the old story about the bull in the china shop isn't quite accurate. A 2-year-old Holstein bull, weighing about 1,200 pounds, hopped off a truck in Sturgis the other day and proceeded to stroll calmly through the town looking at the sights. He was a very well-mannered bull. Instead of breaking plate glass windows, he attempted to enter a local beauty parlor by the simple expedient of walking through the front door. Finally, the bull wandered past a local theater, stopped to look at the coming attractions, and then was ushered across the lawn of the local library to a place where he could be cornered. The owner recovered the bull, and everyone got a good laugh out of the situation. The Sturgis Journal featured the story on its front page and ran a picture of what it termed a well-mannered bull. The people of Lawton are going to throw a real celebration Wednesday night, all because of streetlights. The Lawton Leader reported this week that the long-awaited new streetlights have finally been completed. The illumination will be three or four times as bright as that furnished by the old lights. The Lawton townspeople are going to hold a dance on the main street Wednesday night with the light furnished by the new streetlights. Up in Newaygo, there's a big dispute raging over whether or not taverns in that town should be closed on Sundays. The tavern owners claim that a recent referendum, which voted to close the establishments on Sunday, is illegal, and that in reality, there's no law in effect which can close the taverns. The Newaygo Republican stated this week that the case is being decided in circuit court in White Cloud near Newaygo. Judge Earl Pugsley is expected to announce his decision in the near future. Bert Taylor, who works in the office of the Registrar of Deeds in Charlotte, is thoroughly convinced that people never seem to learn. The Charlotte Republican Tribune reported that Mr. Taylor has been working in the courthouse for 52 years, and in that time, the people of Charlotte haven't yet learned that the courthouse is closed during the noon hour. The doors have always been closed between 12 and 1 o'clock, but the people continue to knock. Now, back to Dr. Dunbar.
Thank you, Harry Travis. Vicksburg, in addition to the excitement about the school election, is watching the progress of a drive for funds for an addition to Franklin Memorial Hospital. According to the Vicksburg Commercial, the drive got underway Monday with a kickoff dinner. To date, the workers have raised almost the entire amount of the $55,000 quota. In addition, the Hospital Festival Committee announced that a large share of the profits from the annual festival that Vicksburg holds each summer will be donated to the drive, and this contribution should put the amount over the top. The festival committee sponsors, you know, that annual Whisker Derby each summer in Vicksburg. Vicksburg furnished what's doing in western Michigan with a lot of news this week, but the next is of a disastrous kind. Two large fires struck in the area over last weekend. First, a large barn on the Edwin Southworth farm was struck by lightning and burned with a loss of $25,000. Then on Sunday, fire struck the Lloyd Weinberg store in Vicksburg and damaged it to the extent of $20,000. The Commercial reported that the fire in the Weinberg store was brought under control in less than an hour, but that only a part of the stock was saved. Well, the Stanton Clipper Herald celebrated its 70th anniversary last week and held an open house in observance of the occasion. The current editor, J.M. Grimm, has only been in Stanton for the past 2 years, but he dug through the files of the paper to find out about the past 70 years in Stanton. Originally, two papers were published in the town, the Stanton Clipper and the Montcalm Herald. The two papers combined many years ago, and most of the residents today have only known the paper by its present name. The Clipper Herald put out a special anniversary edition last week, complete with pictures of many phases of the operation of the newspaper plant. The anniversary celebration came just at the right time. Workmen finished a rebuilding job on the front of the structure, and now it looks like brand new. Also, the Clipper Herald held an open house on Friday night, and that happened to be the same evening that the Stanton merchants picked to stay open late. The crowds came to shop and to visit the newspaper office. Our congratulations to the Stanton Clipper Herald. Mrs. Earl Delano of Allegan got many congratulations from her neighbors last week for the recognition that she received from the National Council of State Garden Clubs. The Allegan News reported last week that Mrs. Delano was honored for the work she has done in helping beautify Michigan highways. Mrs. Delano has been a president of the Michigan State Organization of Garden Clubs. Tomorrow is the big day in Cedar Springs. Dr. C.W. Brayman, who has been a physician and surgeon in Cedar Springs since 1902, will be honored as Citizen of the Year. The Cedar Springs Clipper reports that many of Dr. Brayman's close friends will come from many sections of the state tomorrow to honor him. A large banquet's going to be held in the high school auditorium at Cedar Springs tomorrow night to celebrate the occasion. The whole town of Marcellus turned out Friday night to celebrate the first preliminary event of the annual Bluegill Frolic. A capacity crowd packed the Hudson Memorial Building to see Bernadine Schwartz of Marcellus chosen as queen. Bernadine will reign over the festivities on Saturday, June 25th, when the event reaches its peak. Last night's contest to pick the queen was complete with various kinds of entertainment, and everybody had a grand time. The Marcellus News stated that the actual crowning of the queen will take place on Friday, June 24th, the night before the big celebration. The Hastings High School commencement finally was completed a week ago after both fire and water had interrupted graduation plans. First, a fire destroyed the school auditorium, making it necessary for the graduation to be held outdoors on the high school athletic field. It didn't rain during the morning of the graduation. It just rained during the ceremony that afternoon. The president of the Hastings School Board told the graduates to forget dignity and not let the rain bother them. The graduation continued as scheduled, despite the rain. The Hastings Banner reported that only one musical selection was omitted from the program, although various speakers shortened their speeches. The speakers can truthfully say that they were given a thunderous reception, as thunder reverberated in intervals during the rain. The Sturgis Journal last week offered a solution to the problem of having too much money on hand. That's the very problem, you know, faced by the Sturgis City Commission. Having rejected a plan for the construction of a chapel in a local cemetery from funds left to the city by a local resident who died recently, the city now has to find something else to do with the money. The chapel was to have cost $100,000. However, the total amount in the estate is well over $200,000. The Journal came up with a suggestion that the money might be used for the construction of an auditorium in the city. The Sturgis Board of Education has a suitable location available for the construction of an auditorium, and public sentiment seems to be in favor of using the money for this purpose. At the present time, Sturgis has no large auditorium. The problem has been to raise enough money for construction. Now the Journal believes is the time to take action. The money, the location, and the facilities are available. The Commission is expected to take the proposal under consideration. By the way, I'd like to remind our listeners that this afternoon at 4:30 on the program The Lawmakers, they'll have a chance to hear from State Senator Harold D. Tripp of Allegan. Senator Tripp, you know, is the president pro tem of the Michigan State Senate, and he's been mentioned very prominently lately for a high office nomination by the Republican Party in 1950. That's at 4:30 this afternoon for Senator Tripp and the Lawmakers. The United States government had some good news for the city government of South Haven, according to the South Haven Daily Tribune. A retaining wall is going to be built in the Black River in South Haven, with construction starting in the spring of 1950. The building of this wall has been under consideration for many months. The retaining wall is necessary for river control. In Coloma, the plans for the construction of a new township hall are being completed. A committee was named last week to assume responsibility for the project, according to the Coloma Courier, and the building is expected to cost about $20,000. Well, the students at Portage High School are very grateful to the Michigan State Police for some badly needed help. 125 students from Portage journeyed from that place to Covert Township Park on Lake Michigan last week. When they arrived, after a 40-mile trip, they found that they had all the supplies they needed for a picnic, except the hot dogs and the buns. Well aware of the fact that the stores had closed for the evening, the students were getting just a little bit desperate, until one of them thought of calling the Michigan State Police. Well, that's what they did, and Trooper Donald Bobo of South Haven Post went into action. He rounded up enough store managers to relieve the situation. With the help of the merchants, the state police located 225 hot dogs and 225 buns from six different stores. Then they took them out to the students of Portage High School, and the picnic continued as scheduled, with the students munching hot dogs and the state police happy to have helped them out. And now here's your announcer with a word about the weather. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. We'll be back next Sunday at this same time, 1:45, with another edition of your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan.